All right, let's get into God's Word. Easter. Obviously, this is the time that we come together to celebrate the victory that we have each received through Jesus Christ, to celebrate the victory that He has blessed us with through our faith in Him. I want to begin with reading the scripture in Romans. Romans chapter 6, if you'll turn there. I'm sure many of you are familiar with it. Romans chapter 6, we're going to look at 5 through 11. Romans 6, verse 5. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that the sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with Him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and will never die again. Death has no longer power over Him. When He died once to break the power of sin. But now He lives. He lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. Amen. Today we're gathered to worship, gathered to celebrate that He is risen. He has defeated sin, defeated death, and through faith in Jesus Christ, we each can join in the resurrection and have victory over sin and death. Today we're going to look at a story in the Bible, a story of a man that claimed to be a follower of Jesus, but his faith wavered. He didn't truly believe at a moment who Jesus was. The man knew Jesus, yet he didn't believe Jesus had done and could do what He promised He would do. Now, maybe this is some of your own story. This is part of my testimony. Many times, I grew up as a child in the church, grew up in the hearing about Jesus. I even prayed, and even at times I'd read my Bible. Sometimes I'd go to church, even more often than Christmas and Easter. And I've shared this many times with each of you, that I would say that I believed in Jesus. But I will tell you, I had not truly placed my faith in Jesus. I had not surrendered my life to Him. In fact, I thought I had my life pretty much under control most of the time, until it wasn't. But time and time again, as I went through life, I found myself hating myself, hating the fact that I was powerless over sin in my life. Now, I couldn't overcome sin. I tried, and I tried. But what's interesting is growing up on and off in the church, I knew what sin was. I knew, as in Romans 3:23, that for everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. I believed that. I also believed that because of my sins and the things that I had done, that there would be consequences for what I had done. I knew Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'd heard these verses. I accepted the first part of the verse for sure. I didn't understand the second part. How to receive the free gift of eternal life. Again, I had no problem accepting that I was a sinner. But I'd given up hope. I'd given up hope of ever overcoming who I believed I was. Maybe I just believed this is how I was born. This is just who I am. Romans 7:18 through 19 says, "And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. You know, what was so incredibly sad about my own testimony, I had came to the point, I had accepted that there was no hope for me to overcome sin in my own life. And believing even that I deserved whatever consequences were out there for the things that I had done. I tried everything, but I found no freedom and no victory in trying to overcome that guilt. I believed the lies of Satan. He was trying to keep me. I believed that God had turned his back on me because of the sins I had done. Now, I don't know, maybe some have experienced this. I did not understand redemption. I kept trying to change my own behavior to be the person that I thought I should be, believing then if I could become that person, if I could free myself from these sinful behaviors, then I could come before God. You know, my problem was, I knew of Jesus all the way from my childhood, but I never understood what it truly meant to die to sin. To join Jesus, as we're celebrating today, to join Jesus in the resurrection. To be a new creation in Christ, to be free from sin and from death. Today, we're going to be in John chapter 20. You want to turn your Bibles there? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we can come here and worship our Savior, our risen Savior. And that you are alive, and Lord, through you, Lord, we join in that. We join in that victory. We join in the resurrection, Lord. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer bound to these things, but we have victory and we have freedom in all of these things through you, Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we praise you, Lord, and I just ask for your Spirit just to be poured out on this place right now as we study your word, as we study a story. Lord, I just pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, Lord. If there's anyone here today, Lord, that does not know you, Lord, I pray your Spirit would just move and speak to them. Or maybe if there's someone here today, Lord, that is not living a life that would be pleasing to you, Lord, I just pray, Lord, today would be a new day for them, Lord, to rededicate their life before you. Lord, if someone is here today, just living in sin, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would just convict them and draw them to you, and they would understand the grace and the mercy and the love that's been poured out for them already on the cross. So we love you and thank you, and please bless this time. And all God's people said, amen. So we're going to be in John chapter 20. We're going to look at 24 through 29. Thomas, I think you guys are really familiar with this story. Thomas, a man who knew Jesus. He knew Jesus, but yet didn't believe that he was the one who was resurrected. So let's look at verse 24 through part of 25. Verse 24, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." So Thomas, as it says, one of the 12, who had been with Jesus for almost 3 years, apparently was not present the previous Sunday before when Jesus had appeared to the disciples. We can see that looking up in verses 19 through 23. It tells the whole story there. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't with, I don't know why, maybe there's somebody that knows, but why Thomas wasn't present with the other disciples as they gathered, as they hid and worshiped. But he wasn't there. He wasn't present at that time, and he missed Jesus coming and showing he was resurrected to these disciples. And when Jesus came, if you look at the previous 19 through 23, we see that Jesus spoke to the disciples that were present. He said, "Peace be with you," giving them comfort, I'm sure, as they faced many questions concerning their faith, as they had just seen Jesus on the cross. And he told them again, "Peace be with you." And he showed them physically his wounds from the crucifixion. You know, I imagine the peace in their hearts as they experienced this, knowing, seeing, touching Jesus, going from grief and fear, disappointment, to knowing he is alive and that his word is true. They were so excited, I'm sure, to be there, to see Jesus, to know he's alive. And they also, it says there, it says Jesus sent them and he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. So there was a lot going on. Now I'm sure as these other disciples experienced this, I'm sure they noticed Thomas wasn't there. And I'm sure they were excited to share with him when they would see him. I mean, who would not be excited to share that you just experienced the resurrected Jesus? Proclaiming to Thomas they had seen the Lord, Christ is risen, we have touched his wounds, and then he was there and he breathed the Holy Spirit on us, he was sending us. This would have been exciting to share. I mean, how excited were you? Especially, I see the new Christians, when they experience what it is to know that Jesus is alive, to know that they are part of that resurrection, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, to be freed from the power of sin, and to be called to a purpose. It's exciting. You want to share that with the world. I mean, that's why I'm standing here today, right? Because I'm excited. I want the world to know and to experience Jesus resurrected just like I have experienced. Jesus is alive. And because I have placed my faith in him, I have turned from my sins and called on Jesus my Lord, I experience that each and every day anew. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. I am no longer the person that I was before. That old man is dead. He is buried in the grave, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am born again. What about you today? What about all you today? Are you alive in Christ Jesus? Are you living anew in Christ Jesus? Or are you living a defeated life, powerless over sin in your life, unequipped to go out and accomplish God's will in your life? Well, we believe, we see Jesus is alive, but what about Thomas as we get back to this story? What about Thomas in this story? Is he going to believe the testimony of his closest friends that have came to him and shared that Jesus is alive? Let's look at the last part of verse 25. But he replied, I won't believe. I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. A little dramatic, but I bet you it was dramatic as he said this to the others. Thomas was clear to these people, his closest friends, the people he had just spent the last 3 years with, that they were not going to convince him by their testimony alone that Jesus was alive. He wasn't going to believe any of this that they were sharing with him unless he said he experienced Jesus firsthand, physically, in person. I thought about this proclamation Thomas has made to the disciples. I will not believe unless Jesus does this, and I can do this. Was this wrong? To say, unless I experience Jesus firsthand, not necessarily from someone else's testimony, but from Jesus himself, then I will believe? Was that wrong? I mean, Thomas was bold. This is a bold statement from Thomas, explaining what it would take for him to believe that Jesus was resurrected and alive. I'm sure this discussion, as it took place, was extremely emotional and driven and passionate. As the others, I'm sure he couldn't even believe the others in disappointment why they would even say such things. He said, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. I put my fingers into them and place my hand in the wound in his side. Very passionate. He's outlined again what it would take for him to believe that Jesus is alive. Have you ever done that? Has anyone done that? Put demands or put it out there? This is what must take place if I will believe in Jesus. First, I'm sure as all of you have heard from others, as Thomas has heard, that Jesus is alive. Many people out there sharing the gospel, right? People came to me, and they said, Aaron, Jesus is alive. If you will place your faith in Jesus, you will be saved. You'll be born again. You'll be freed from these sins I know you're struggling with, and you will be given eternal life in heaven. I heard that message a lot. Many people evangelized to me. Again, often in times of personal grief, pain, and hopelessness as I was walking through something difficult in my life. And I didn't surrender. I maybe would go to church for a while. I might even pick up my Bible, and I surely would cry out to God at points in my life. But I never truly surrendered, and as soon as this situation would pass, I was back to my old ways and my old way of life. You know, again, I also was the guy who prayed to God and said, give me a sign. Show me. Prove to me who you are. I will turn to you, God, and I will commit my entire life to you if you would just prove to me who you are. Give me a vision, something. I didn't put conditions on it, even like Thomas did. Thomas, like, outlined it. I didn't even put conditions. I'm like, just prove it somehow. And I will surrender my entire life to you. Was it wrong for Thomas to ask for a sign? Was it wrong for me? I don't know. Let's look at verses 26 through 27. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand in the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Woo. Think about that. A little over a week has passed, and it seems that Thomas had some time to think about what the other disciples had proclaimed to him about Jesus. And I imagine as this time went on, that this was quite a spiritual battle that probably took place. You imagine as someone has heard the gospel, they've been presented with the truth, Jesus is alive, and you're in your mind processing it. Is it true? Satan's pouring lies out to contradict the truth of who God is and his word. Maybe this is even going to happen to some of you this very week, because you're here today sitting in church on Easter Sunday, and you're hearing the gospel. You're hearing the truth that Jesus is alive. You're hearing the truth that if you place your faith in him, you'll be freed from your sins. And you're going to walk out of here, and the battle will begin. The Holy Spirit is calling you. He's revealing the truth to you. Maybe some of you were like I was, just believing, I believe in Jesus, but simply unwilling to call upon Jesus as Lord. Please don't do what I did. Don't live that life year after year after year, being defeated by sin. Hopeless to ever have victory in my life. You know what's interesting? I fought it. I tried everything. You know what I had to do in the end? I had to give up. I had to surrender. I had to stop fighting, fall to my knees in complete and utter surrenderance, and cry out to Jesus. I didn't come a cleaned up man. I came a very sinful man. And I came before God and said, I can't do this anymore. I surrender. I believe you can. I can't. Please free me from this life of sin. I believe you can do it. My life has never been the same. I can tell you today, I lived a redeemed life today. I have victory over sin. I am no longer bound by these things, and I am a new creation. And that old man is dead. I am new. Let's get back to the passages. I found it very interesting that the disciples here continued to meet together, even in fear of what was going to take place. And it was in this time of fellowship, as they met together, that Jesus showed up and did the miraculous. Now, first he spoke again. He spoke peace upon them. We said, read it, and before he'd given them the Holy Spirit, and Thomas had missed all that. You know why he missed it? Because he wasn't there. He wasn't in fellowship with the other disciples. That was on Sunday, I'm pretty sure. And yes, the disciples met for church and fellowship on Sunday. It wasn't Saturday. Now, I don't know what or why Thomas missed that time that they gathered together behind the locked doors. I don't know why Thomas wasn't there, why he didn't join. But obviously in the next times, he heard the testimony of the disciples, and I believe then the Holy Spirit spoke to him and called him in some which way, because he was brought back to fellowship. He came back to fellowship with the other disciples. We read it in the scripture there, to be with his brothers as they came together to worship and pray. You know, I pray for this each and every Sunday. I pray that the Spirit of God would go out throughout this city of Chiang Mai, and he'd convict the people. He'd first convict the Christians to get to church. He'd convict the sinners in their need of a Savior. And he would call the church to come together in corporate worship. Now, we see in the picture here these disciples, even in fear of persecution, they were faithful to meet together, to pray and worship. And then, during this, what happened? Jesus showed up. I find that amazing. I'm not saying that Jesus only shows up during church. I'm not saying that. That's the only time you're going to encounter Jesus is during church. But I am saying there is something very special to Jesus when his children gather together and praise and worship him together. It is honoring to God. When we set time aside to come together in a house of God to sing praises, to pray, to study his word, it is a form of worship and obedience that God blesses. Jesus has showed up as the disciples were together in worship, and again, he says, "Peace be with you." I find this amazing, because I think even today as we're sitting here worshiping in Easter service, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying that to each one of us. Peace be with you. I've been sharing all this whole time about my testimony. Peace is with me. I have peace with God. But it's more than that, because in the resurrection we join, I also have peace with God, but I also have peace with my family, in my relationships with others. I have peace in my heart and soul knowing who I am in Christ. I have peace knowing that Jesus is in control and that I can rest on the promises that he has given us through his word. Peace is with all of us. Peace is with you on this Easter Sunday in knowing who Jesus is and who we are in Christ Jesus. I want to look at a verse in Deuteronomy 31:6. Deuteronomy 31:6. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not panic before them. For the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I have peace in knowing who God is, knowing that Jesus is alive. So back to Thomas here. You imagine this meeting that is taking place. You imagine after what he has said, 8 days later, now in fellowship with his brothers, and Jesus shows up, and what he said to him. Come here. I can imagine this happening. I mean, there's a little bit in between the lines of scripture. Something happened. Come over here, Thomas. The two of them looking at each other. Obviously, Jesus is speaking to him, right? Jesus is looking at Thomas, rebuking. Make clear, this is a rebuke. Jesus is rebuking Thomas in love, saying, without saying it, I heard what you said 8 days ago. I know what you said when your brothers in Christ told you I was alive. Jesus knew. I won't believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wounds in his side. Could you imagine Thomas standing before Jesus after what he had said, looking upon him? I get tears of just thinking of this as Jesus holding out his hands before Thomas and saying, "Put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Put your hand inside my wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Could you imagine standing before Jesus hearing that? Jesus heard what Thomas had said. What Thomas had said it would take for him to believe that Jesus was alive. And Jesus did exactly that. He said, "I'm right here. Do it." I've been in Thomas's place. having God rebuked me for my own lack of faith. I'll never forget it. It was one of the most God experience, the number one God experience besides being saved that I ever had in my life. And it was a special moment in my life where God rebuked me for my lack of faith in who he was and what he had called me to do. And I was in his presence like I have never experienced it before. I have no words to explain it. I won't even try. All I got to say is the only reaction I had was to be on my face and beg for forgiveness. To repent before a risen God for my own lack of faith, just broken before him. Now I'm sure there's some of you maybe have experienced that. Maybe there's some even here now. The Holy Spirit has spoke to you, speaking to you as Jesus had spoke to Thomas, saying, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. Jesus is alive. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, surrender to Jesus today. Just come before him and say, I believe you are alive. I believe you are risen. I cannot do this. And I believe you are the answer for my sins and you paid that price. Maybe there's some here today that say, I know Jesus. Maybe some of you here today say, I am a Christian. But you are not experiencing victory in sin in your life. Come to faith in believing the power of the resurrection. Walk in victory. Thomas, look here in verse 28. I just love this. I challenge this to all of us. Verse 28. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. My Lord and my God. He looked upon the resurrected Jesus with his wounds, and all he could say is, my Lord, my God. What else could you say? What would you have to say? One of the most powerful answers we can give to Jesus as the Holy Spirit speaks to us is just to call upon him, my Lord, my God. So powerful. Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by confessing with your mouth that you are saved. My Lord, my God. It's a gospel. Jesus in his grace and his mercy and his love calls each one of us to join in this resurrection as we're celebrating today. To be born again. To be a new creation. To be freed from our sins and to live a life of victory within him. Let's look at the last verse in John chapter 20, verse 29. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me. Each of us are blessed through faith, believing upon the word of God, knowing that he is alive and to have a new life through faith in him. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 8. I passed on to you what was most important and what I had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Today, Easter Sunday, we're gathered here in this church to celebrate Jesus and his victory, his resurrection, to celebrate the victory that he gives each one of us through faith. If there's anyone here today who has never placed their faith in Jesus, and you'd like to respond to that calling, that tugging on your heart that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, please respond today and give your life to Jesus. Don't wait any longer. Don't walk out of here not knowing that you are a child of God. If anyone here today has not been living the life that you know that you're supposed to be living in Christ Jesus, if you are struggling with sin, or maybe even you're not feeling that you're walking according to the way God would have you walk, walking in the will of God, let's pray together and take this day on Easter Sunday and just rededicate our life and just follow this. He says, don't be faithless any longer. Believe. So today, we have the baptism set up back there. We had a baptism at the 10 o'clock service. So far, no one signed up for a water baptism this afternoon. But if you want to be baptized today, we got the baptism all out. I'd love to baptize you today. A quick one-minute discussion, and we'll baptize you if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you want to be baptized today after the service, let us know. We'll have a discussion, and we can do that. We also are going to have communion. They're going to start getting ready to pass that out. And also, during the closing worship, please respond to these verses. Don't be faithless any longer, believe. My Lord, my God. If you would like to be a follower of Jesus today, or maybe, as I talked before, maybe you just would like to rededicate your life before Jesus, or if you're interested in water baptism, come up to me during the worship and talk to me. I'd like to talk to you about any of these things. As we get ready to take communion, I do have one thing. If you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ, please don't take communion. Refrain from this time. Just take that time for personal reflection and just pray to God that he would reveal himself to you. And maybe there's some of us here today, and this has happened to me before, that maybe there's some sin in our lives that we're dealing with, that we're walking through, that we need to deal with before taking communion. Or perhaps we have something against a brother or sister in Christ. We need to deal with that before we partake in communion. And you can do that right now, right here before God. But I ask that you do repent of any sin in your life before you take communion. Because this is a time of examination. A time to come before God and search yourself before taking communion. So as they're passing it out, Laura's going to come up here. The kids are going to come out. And here at Refuge Fellowship, if you are a believer of Jesus Christ, we believe that all those who are believers can take communion. So as far as your children, that is each family's decision to make. If they have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, please feel free to partake in communion. So we're going to take a few minutes here as Laura is going to pray and as the communion is being passed out. And we're just going to have a time of silent reflection and prayer to remember who Jesus is this Easter Sunday, to remember what he's done for each one of us, and to remember who we are in Christ Jesus. I want to look at a verse before we take that time and before Laura prays. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. You were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you new, made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took away it by nailing it to the cross. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We're just going to come before you now in a time of worship. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just speak to each one of us today, Lord, as we reflect over the last year, from this Easter to the last. And Lord, just look at our lives, Lord, and see, Lord, are we walking according to your will? Lord, is there anything in our lives that is not pleasing to you? Lord, is there any sin in our life that we, Lord, have not repented of? Lord, is there anything that we have or that anyone would have against us as brothers and sisters in Christ? Lord, I just pray that we would lay all this down before the cross, before the altar right now, Lord, before partaking in communion. Lord, that you would just speak to each one of us, Lord, and we would just come to know you in a deeper way, Lord, to understand what it is to live in that resurrection, to be alive new in Christ, to walk in victory. So, Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we all come together, Lord, and just take this time to come before you, Lord, that you would just speak to each and every one of us, Lord. In Jesus' name, please take a few minutes and just have a time of prayer amongst yourselves.